Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of June, recording at 9:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick review of the week. Stock markets have been mostly steady. There are one or two exceptions. Taiwan on the downside, which is important. It's been a leader. And also, we have seen some of the smaller, thinner markets benefit most from momentum plays. That's markets such as Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, some of the smaller resources markets as well. And today, we had a quiet day generally in here, although China was down with a medium-sized reaction. Wall Street, having been most of the day in the minus column, closed with a tiny gain in the Dow and the S&P. Long-dated government bonds, looking oversold. They've been very weak recently, but technically are somewhat oversold. Susceptible to some short covering. I think it's probably that more than serious buying at this stage, but you never know. And in the currencies, the US dollar, which had been very weak, has seen some loss of downside momentum, and that's over the last 2 weeks. So that has steadied a bit. And the precious metals, against a background of a steadier dollar, have been under a little bit of pressure, drifting somewhat. Industrial metals, in contrast, have been a tower of strength, although encountered some profit-taking in here today. And the agricultural commodities, many of them have been fairly steady overall, but again, giving up some gains here today. And one of them, which has been a towerhouse of strength, I notice, soybeans, that is weakened here today also. Crude oil prices have been trading above the $70 level, currently $72.22. Natural gas, though, remains, so it's slipped back below the $4 level and here today. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of the big picture with these stock markets? Well, we have certainly seen an incredibly powerful recovery for some of the leading markets, really since their October-November lows, and for the lagging markets since their March lows. And some of the better performers among emerging markets, one or two of them had tested their lows in March. India, for instance, got back very close to its October low and then has soared subsequently, albeit with the help of a surprise election result, bringing the party in power back with a bigger majority than they had previously, and thus paving the way for a somewhat stronger government, less compromised by allies such as communists. But in terms of the technical action overall, we have repeatedly described this as a type 2 beginning of a bull market for the laggards. The leaders basically saucered around and have ranged higher. I'm thinking of markets such as China. But the laggards, those are the ones that retested their lows, or let alone moved to new lows in February and March. They show that type 2 extreme reaction against the prevailing downtrend type of move. Now, historically, as you've heard me say before, and you'll certainly know if you attended the chart seminar, historically those patterns are persistent, and they tend to surprise even the optimists, and you can put us in that category. And why do they actually do that? Well, There are usually fundamental factors behind it. Invariably, there are fundamental factors behind it. Nothing trumps monetary policy, as I've said on a number of occasions. So we've had this record reflationary effort, and that occurred against the background of some pretty strong fiscal stimulus. And we also had record high levels of cash among institutional investors. And basically, they were cashed up in fear of a possible depression, which everybody was talking about not all that long ago. Fortunately, Fuller Money never believed that. We always get people always get emotional near important market lows, just as they do near important market highs. And the rallies that we've seen have created momentum moves, forcing some of those investors who not only feared a depression but also feared redemptions, and so they had to sell additionally in anticipation of that. But we've seen momentum moves here on the upside. And if we were looking at paintings, well, one wag had said that the stock market performance looks as if it's painted by Norman Rockwell, whereas the actual economic background more closely resembles the work of Edvard Munch. And if you're not all that familiar with him, the Norwegian painter, look up his picture, The Scream. I think that's what they had in mind. So people are sensing a disconnect here, and I feel that markets have run a bit ahead of themselves. That is the nature of markets to do that. You get a change in sentiment and you get a very dramatic reaction. Now, markets had fallen too far to the downside, and arguably they may be a little bit ahead of themselves here in the short term, but I don't feel anywhere near as certain in terms of a reaction as I did feel that we were in the bottoming out and base building process before we had seen most of this powerful rally. And the reasons for that are all those building blocks that create new bull market moves. You have to have a huge sell-off, which ends in some panicky selling. You have a massive monetary stimulus, you often get some fiscal stimulus, all the things I've been talking about repeatedly in here, the high cash levels among institutional investors, low interest rates, and that's pretty much it. Then all that is required is an improvement in confidence, and then markets are off to the races, and that's what we've seen. But the performances vary considerably, and if you look at the gains that we've seen on Wall Street, for instance, they are flattered by a weak dollar, ditto gains in Japan. And if you adjust those or view them in harder currencies, and I posted a chart of the S&P in Australian dollars earlier in the week, and the gain is more than halved. So, again, a big disparity between the leaders and the laggards, and that's hardly surprising. Given the fundamental backgrounds, and I'm delighted and relieved to see that Fuller Money themes are very much to the fore. And those are led by emerging Asia and the developing resources economies, and some of those are Asian developing resources economies. And that's a take the big ones, Brazil and China, it's a natural marriage. China is Brazil's biggest customer. Now, getting back to the possibility of markets having run too far ahead of themselves, that's of course a subjective conclusion, but it is based on what we've seen previously. When you get the short covering, then you get the long buyers coming in. Then you get the momentum squeeze on the upside, forcing more of the people on the sidelines into the market. Gradually, their demand is temporarily sated. In other words, they're not willing to pay higher quite so much. Some of the earlier buyers may start to take some profits. The shorts might be emboldened a little bit, and you get supply and demand moving back into balance, and then you get a correction. Now, the most eyebrow-raising evidence of that growing risk comes from Taiwan, which is one of the spectacular leaders, combining that Asian theme plus the technology theme. That's another lead sector, a fuller money theme. And that has clearly lost, so one of the best overall gains among stock markets, and has clearly lost upside momentum. Others show slowing trends, indicating that supply and demand is moving a little bit into balance. Now, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we could see consolidations which just involve quiet ranging, and actually, that's what we've been getting on Wall Street and a number of the other OECD markets for, or at least the European ones, for the last few weeks, sort of steadily ranging, but it's more of a pause relative to the stronger moves that we saw in the beginning. But I wouldn't count on that, and I would also say that the higher markets push in the short term, should they do that, the greater the risk of a reversion to the mean in terms of those 200-day moving averages. Now, again, I want to put all this in perspective. We think this is a bull market. I have also mentioned that on the laggards, we would actually have confirmation of that until we see a pullback which finds support well above the March lows. I'm talking about the laggards now. And then we see a resumption of the rally, which breaks above 200-day moving averages, which then turn upwards. Now, all that takes time. And as I said way back in the November, December, January, February, and March period, that we would have a very substantial recovery on our hands by the time all that confirming data was in place. So I'm just pointing that out for overall perspective. But everything that these stock markets have done is consistent, so really since those March lows, and a lot of it from that October selling climax onwards, is consistent with a bull market hypothesis. And that's really the big story. And for instance, we have seen even most of the laggards have broken above their 200-day moving averages. Those are trend smoothing devices. And representing an approximate mean in our view. So, and the leaders on the upside have broken way above those 200-day moving averages. So they have quite a lot of leeway to get a mean reversion towards those averages, which will be rising over the next few weeks and perhaps months. Worst case scenario, in my view, is that we get a multi-month pullback and dull sort of ranging period. But that's worst case. What's best case? Well, I think we get rising consolidations. You do have to consolidate those gains, otherwise markets really do get overextended. But you get rising consolidations, in which case the leaders, the resources, the Asian emerging markets, for instance, just do outstandingly well. And that's what we have seen in recent months. Okay, because the risk, short-term risk, has increased, I personally would be cautious in here right now, but I'm not the least bit tempted to sell any of my longer-term positions. I do expect them to pull back, but I'm not too fussed about that, and I think that'll just create another buying opportunity. And I'd feel pretty silly if I sold out and they didn't pull back. If they do pull back, it's something that I'm expecting. I can certainly certainly deal with that psychologically. In terms of my trading positions, I've become quite cautious in here, as you may have seen. And I think, again, I think that the risks are high. I mentioned, I think it was Wednesday last week, I mentioned that we had seen, at any rate, I think it would have been on the third, not sure about that, but mentioned that I thought we had possibly seen reached one of those all change positions where stock markets were a little bit more susceptible to reactions or corrections, and that the dollar was a bit oversold, government bonds were a bit oversold. Well, the dollar has steadied a bit, the government bonds weakened further, but still look overextended temporarily on the short term. But they won't, government bond prices won't rally if stock markets remain firm. And I also pointed out that gold had been flattered in getting back up nearly to $1,000. It had been flattered by the weakness of the US dollar, and it might pull back into the and just range, consolidate in the $900 region, and just giving more right-hand extension to this big pattern that's forming that I think will lead to an upward break by bullion in the fourth quarter of this year, if not sooner. So, but in the short term, I wish to emphasize that, and I know this is the big picture long-term outlook, but I think this is important in terms of the short-term risks have gone up. Now, talking more about those, that big long-term picture, I think that equities, I'm looking for a bull market, a continued bull market, with or without the correction, first. And I will be relatively relaxed about that until we see one of two things, almost certainly. These are the factors that would worry me most. One would be a change in monetary policy, excuse me, causing central banks to start tightening. The other would be a spike in the commodities, but the ones that really count in that department would be crude oil. Now, crude oil in the $70 to $80 level, the global economy can cope with that, even a weaker global economy. But obviously, the recent rise is something of a headwind for global GDP growth. And if we see crude oil for some reason, this is not a forecast. I don't think this is going to happen near term. But if we saw crude, for instance, pushing back up closer to $100 or more, that would start to worry me a bit more. But again, monetary policy trumps everything. A change in central bank policy, that's the big one. When will that occur? I really don't know, and neither do the central banks, but the central banks will want to tighten monetary policy, I suspect, before their respective governments would reluctantly give such a move their qualified blessings. The dilemma for central banks is that they're not going to see inflation in the form of wages or in terms of increasing house prices this time around, at least not in the OECD countries. They're going to see the inflation in commodity prices. And they will also see some of it in stock market prices. That's okay for investors, provided you're playing the commodity themes and the stock market themes that are the best performing ones. That's what we should be doing in any cycle. We should be saying, where's the action? It's a global beauty contest. Where are the best performances actually occurring? Let's participate in that. Let the market show us. And it has. Okay, currencies. I don't think the dollar can really sustain more than a short-term technical rally, but the possibility of that is enough to keep me from reopening dollar shorts at this stage. A dramatically weak dollar would cause problems. I don't think we're going to see a dollar collapse, but I do think we'll see the dollar go back down to the lows that we had seen. I think it was last May, June, and July. And that's on the US dollar index. I think that's really quite possible. In terms of that next move on the upside in precious metals, gold may spark it, but I regard silver as high beta gold, so silver will fall more in the corrections and move up more in the advances. I'd expect that to remain the case. Platinum's interesting, being a precious metal, but also sometimes moving with the industrial metals, but I'm out of platinum myself currently at this stage. I have very few trading positions, and most of what I have a little bit of gold. I have some copper. That position was reduced today due to a stop being triggered. I have no silver at the moment. Another stop triggered. So I have a little bit of gold. I have a little bit of zinc. I have a little bit of copper and a little bit of nickel. That's it. That's it at this stage. I'm going to be cautious here in this short-term lull in some of the more important trends that that we've been playing. And I do feel, though, that we will see some quite dramatic moves before year end. I would expect the stock market bull trend to be very much alive and well at year end. I would expect precious metals to be considerably stronger. Dollar almost certainly weaker. And I think that's a wrap here for another week. So I'll just wish you a very, very good, relaxing weekend and all the best.